May we bow our heads in the Lord's presence and worship Him. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. We thank You. Heaven is Thine, earth is Thine, and the fullness thereof. How wonderful to call You Abba Father this morning. How wonderful to say thank You for that unspeakable gift You gave us when You sent Jesus into this world. Oh God, You're a beautiful, blessed Lord. You're a benevolent, beneficent God. You're God of grace and goodness. You are a God who is ever present, ever ready to save all who call upon Your name and provide help who come to You. And this morning, as we meditate upon Your Son, whom You so lovingly gave us, You did not spare Your only Son, but gave Him up for us all. And we know along with Him there is nothing You will withhold from us. As the fullness of Godhead dwelleth bodily in Christ, and as we are blessed with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, who also promised us, "Seek ye first My rule and righteousness in your life, all that you need temporally will be surely granted to you." Thank You for these exceeding precious promises which You have given to us, whereby we might become partakers of Your divine nature. We give You blessing and glory, worship and thanksgiving, honor and power and might. For, O Lord, Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. I don't know what you were impressed by when you heard Luke chapter 2 verses 1 to 20 was being read to you. I would say it is God's show of His sound and light, wherein you see history and mystery mingled and the message and the music intertwined, all focused on the baby that was lying in the manger. The question that we need to ponder today is, who is Jesus that was born on the first Christmas? The answer to this question should not come from human mind. It should come from God's Word. And unless our understanding of this Jesus born on the first Christmas day doesn't come from the Word of God, it is spurious. It's not authentic. Today the world is filled with the spirit of Antichrist. They don't want to even mention the name of Jesus or take the name of Jesus in their mouth. And so we see them changing BC into BCE and AD into CE. I don't know how many of you have heard this. Sometimes it comes in the newspaper. They won't say 2011 AD. They will say 2000 CE. Because when you use the word BC, you take Christ's name in your mouth before Christ. When you take AD, you say in the year of the Lord. So Christ, Lord, comes into your mouth. They don't want to take His name in their mouth. What does it mean, CE? CE means common era. The world doesn't say AD, it's increasing. They say common era. They don't want to say BC, they say before common era. So BCE and CE. Now I act like a dumb person and ask them, tell me, when did the CE start? And they have to say, when Jesus came into the world. So can you remove Jesus from history? You can't. Because the coming of Jesus on this earth was so powerful, it split the human history into two halves, BC and AD. So history is a story, and the second coming of Christ is going to be the climax of the world history. You cannot get rid of him. The worldly philosophies give the concept of time as a circular concept. It started nowhere, it ends nowhere, what happens will happen, it will go on in a monotonous, vicious circle. But the revelation of God in Christ Jesus gives us a linear concept of time. Time and space is a slice carved out of eternity past and eternity future. Cross is the center of time, and time is going to be swallowed up in eternity. This heaven and earth will pass away, new heaven and earth will come, where Jesus, the sovereign king, will rule forever and ever. So we find in the word of God, history is moving as God has planned. It had a beginning, it will have an end. Christ is the center. Who is this Jesus that was born on the first Christmas? The first description of Jesus is found in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. That's where the first promise of Jesus' birth was given by God, spoken to the serpent, who led Adam and Eve to disbelieve God and disobey God and believe him and obey him, whereby the fall of humanity took place in the Garden of Eden. This is what God spoke to the serpent. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is called the proto-evangel. The first time the gospel was preached to humanity, which consisted of a couple in the Garden of Eden. So Jesus in this passage is called as the seed of the woman. Quran says that. Veda says that. Old Testament says that. New Testament says that. In the Quran you will read, Jesus is born to a virgin without a human father by the Holy Spirit. He had no sins to confess to God. All the other prophets had sins. Jews wanted to destroy him. They sought to kill him. But he rose from the dead. He is in heaven. And he is coming again to judge the world. In the Vedas, Jesus is born of the Holy Spirit. Umathaya namo. Om Sri Umathaya namo. He is also born to a virgin. Om Sri Kanyasuthaya namo. Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7:14 and chapter 9 verse 6 tell us, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The child was born as a human being, but the son is given as a gift by God the Father. The government will be upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So Jesus is called the seed of the woman. He is also called the virgin born. And Matthew's Gospel and John's Gospel, various passages do tell us the same truth. So I would say the four leading religions in their scriptures point to Jesus Christ as the Savior, Lord and King of this universe. Thirdly, when you come to John's Gospel chapter 1, verse 1 to 5 and verse 14, he is called the eternal word that became the incarnate flesh and dwelt among men. revealing God to man, reconciling man to God, regenerating man by the Holy Spirit to dwell in his inner emptiness of his spirit, and also to renew him and transform his life, and finally glorify him for God's eternal purposes. Jesus is called not only the seed of the woman, not only the virgin born, he is called the Word become flesh. Our forefathers called Jesus Adinada Shabda, eternal Word, Kumari Sambhava, born to a virgin. There is a beautiful concept hidden in this word, Word. Jesus is called the eternal Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. And verse 14 says, John 1:14, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. The word has the concept of Trinity concealed in it. If I knock on this mouthpiece, you hear a sound. When I speak, you hear a sound. Tell me, what's the difference between the sound that comes when I knock at the mouthpiece and when I talk? In this sound that comes by knocking at the mouthpiece, there is no thought, only sound. But in the words that I speak, there is not only sound, but there is thought. So word implies thought. And who has a thought? This mouthpiece doesn't have a thought. This is an impersonal force in the digital world. It doesn't think by itself, doesn't feel by itself or choose by itself. You switch on, it comes on. You switch off, it goes off. It doesn't know what I am talking, though my words go through this digital system. So this is not a person. This is a force. I am a person. I am a person who can be called a thinker. If you have a live mind, you are a thinker. And what do you think? Thoughts. How do you communicate your thoughts? By the words you speak. So Jesus is the second person of the Holy Trinity. The thinker who has thought communicates through his word. So the first Adam is the clay become human body, a living being. The last Adam is not the child of the first Adam. He's not even the second Adam. Bible calls it last Adam. First Adam, last Adam. If there is second Adam, there will be third Adam, fourth Adam, fifth Adam, and umpteen Adams. No. First Adam, from the mud, living soul. Last Adam, that means when the clay becomes human flesh, you have the first Adam. When the word becomes flesh, you have the last Adam. So who is this Jesus that was born on first Christmas day? The word become flesh. Please expect miracles and mysteries in God. If God is not mysterious, if you can discover everything of God, he is not God. You cannot mentally, exhaustively comprehend God, but you can experientially apprehend God. I cannot understand my wife's love for me, but I recognize her love. I receive her love by an act of the will. A child cannot understand how much the mother loves that child, but the child knows the mother loves me. And if the child responds to the love of the mother, the child enjoys life. So who is Jesus? The eternal Word become incarnate flesh. Can you think of the clay becoming a living being? Some of my medical friends in the medical colleges where I speak, they say, PC, your Bible is full of myths. Tell me one myth. It says, clay became human being with a human body of flesh and blood. How can clay become? And then your Bible says the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among man. I can't accept this. I said, okay, you answer my question. When a husband and wife sleep together, two drops of fluid will produce bones in the womb of the mother. Doctor, please explain to me, how does it happen? He would say, naturally, that's a medical mystery. Okay, mister, if medicine can have mystery, why don't you give the same privilege to God to have some divine mysteries? When any one of us die, how long will they keep our dead bodies? Today you have the freezer, you can prolong it as long as you want. But what's the use? Waste of money. Electricity charges are going up. So what do you do with a dead body? You either bury it or burn it. And what does your beautiful body, pretty, handsome, brilliant looking body, become? Dust. So what is unscientific about it? You came from the dust, you go back to the dust, but your body is only the residence. You are the resident and you are a spirit with a soul. So therefore, aren't you a living mystery? Have scientists discovered everything about the ear, everything about the eye, everything about the heart, everything about the brain? The more people learn about these various parts of the human body, and the more degrees they get, the more they discover how little they know. So true intellectual must be very humble, because true education is to lead you from unconscious ignorance to conscious ignorance. That means before you got your first PhD, you did not know what you did not know. But when you got your seventh PhD, now you know what you don't know. So let's be humble. So here is this wonderful truth. Jesus is called the only begotten Son of God. There are creeds that we read in this church. And in that creed, I think it is Athanasian Creed, where it says, Jesus was begotten, not created. Now what's the difference between begotten and created? I'm not splitting hair, but there are deep truths in this which we have to understand. And truth will set us free from superstition. Begotten means bringing into existence something which already existed. Created means bringing into existence someone never existed. In Genesis chapter 5, you will read, God created Adam, and Adam begat sons and daughters. There was no Adam. God created him from the clay shell to a living being with a body. And the future humanity was an Adam. Like one grain of wheat can produce in 20 years equal amount of wheat harvested in the whole world. Where did all the grains of wheat come? From that one wheat. So today's humanity is the wider family of Adam and Eve. And this is the only way you can overcome the curse of caste system in India. Recognizing the whole humanity came from one couple. Mark chapter 10 verse 6. In the beginning God created male and female. I came from my mother's womb. And who put me there? My daddy. My daddy came from my grandma's womb. Who put him there? My grandpa. Where did you all come from? Is there anyone who has come from a monkey's stomach, as the evolutionists claim, or a donkey's stomach, or a pig's stomach? Because they say, by appearance and behavior, sometimes we are like monkeys. By blood test, we are similar to pigs. And by milk test, we are similar to the donkeys. If a woman gives birth to a baby, doesn't have the ability to feed her, breastfeed, you can give donkey milk, the baby will live. So there is some affinity between man and donkey through milk test. A man in Guwahati got a pig's heart implanted in him. He lived 1 week. That's a long time to live with a pig's heart, because there is some similarity with the blood test. And of course, by behavior, sometimes we are like monkeys. But I've never seen a human baby coming out of a monkey's womb or a donkey's womb or a pig's womb. It always comes from a mother's womb. And a mother cannot produce a baby unless a man sleeps with her. The egg of the woman and the sperm of the man fertilized together becomes a baby, takes 9 months, and then the baby is born. So where did the whole humanity come from? From the first couple. God created them. So where was I when Adam and Eve were alive? I was in Adam. And when they sinned, they forfeited the Holy Spirit. Therefore the whole humanity was spiritually degenerated. Spiritual death is forfeiting the Holy Spirit whom God had breathed into Adam. And he became a living being. That's what the Bible says so beautifully, Romans 5:12. As by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, death has come upon all men because all have sinned. Where did I sin? When did I sin? In Adam I sinned. I was in Adam. I was in my father before I was born. So creation means bringing into existence something never existed. Begetting means bringing out into existence what is already in you. God created Adam. Adam begat sons and daughters. Where were Adam's sons and daughters? They were in Adam. Now Jesus is called not the created Son of God, he's called the only begotten Son of God. Where was Jesus before he was born? He was in the Holy Trinity. He proceeded from the Father, conceived by the Holy Spirit. He came into the world as a real 100% human being. Therefore, he was as much God as though he was not man, and he was as much man as though he was not God. Can you think of a person in whom two natures are so mingled and makes one person? As much God as though he was not man, as much man as though he was not God. So he can represent God, he can meet the needs of man. He is not created, he is begotten. The Word of God and the Spirit of God combined and fertilized, that embryo was planted in the womb of the Virgin Mary. If her egg was involved in the conception of Christ, Christ would have been sinful by the original sin. Because Mary acknowledged that she is the daughter of the first fallen Adam when she said in her Magnificat, God my Savior. This immaculate conception of Mary is unscriptural. Mary said, God my Savior. Who needs a Savior? A sinner. So she is not sinless. So if her egg was involved in the conception of Christ, Christ would have been sinful. He cannot be the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. The Word of God conceived by the Holy Spirit, that embryo was implanted in the womb of the surrogate mother Mary. He got a real human body through the food that was supplied through the umbilical cord. When I was preaching in St. George's Hospital in Vizag, there were professors who were sitting and they came and told me, PC, wherever you preach this, tell them, if the blood of the baby mixes with the blood of the mother, or the blood of the mother mixes with the blood of the baby will die. So there was no blood of Mary in the body of Christ. The physical body grew with the umbilical cord that supplied the body, supplied the food. So who is this Jesus? Only begotten Son of God. Not a child of the first fallen Adam. That's why he's called the last Adam. Now why is his name called only begotten Son of God? He's called the only begotten Son of God because of this one reason. If the sacrifice for the sins of the world is once and once for all, the birth of that person who is to be the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world is once and once for all. We live in India, where if people are smart, they can become avatars. How many avatars we have? Avatars who have died and gone, and the avatars who are continuing to be manufactured in the philosophical world. If some of you are smart enough, you can become one avatar and many will worship you as God. Friends, one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for all. So if the sacrifice for the sins of the world is once and once for all, the incarnation of the second person of the Holy Trinity to become the Savior of the world is once and once for all. That's why he is called the only begotten Son of God. And then you will read in the Word of God, he is not only the seed of the woman, he is not only the virgin become the mother, the surrogate mother of the Son of God, not only the virgin born, he is the Word become flesh, he is the only begotten Son of God, but he is also called the last Adam, who happens to be the second person of the Holy Trinity. That's why Jesus is unique. He is not created but begotten. He is not the child of the first Adam, he is the last Adam. Now, when you baptize your children, or when you are baptized, what does the pastor say? The pastor will recite Jesus' command in Matthew 28, verse 18. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, that's bad English, I think. When Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, I don't know why you say name. It should be names, no? But if you add names to make it a good English, grammatical English, you will have bad theology. We don't believe in three gods. We believe in one God who eternally exists in three persons. So who is Jesus? In whose name are you baptized? In the name of the triune God, who is the only God. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? When you leave this church, when the benediction is pronounced, what is the benediction you receive? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Church, please recognize who Jesus is. He is not just another founder of another religion, or a great teacher, or an ideal person. He is the seed of the woman. He is the virgin born. He is the Word become flesh. He is the only begotten Son of God. He is the last Adam. He is the second person of the Holy Trinity. Many people tell me, especially my Muslim friends, PC, don't preach this Trinity. I say, I don't believe in Trimurti, but I believe in Tritvam. Trimurti means one God creates, another one destroys, third one comes into it and says, you fellows, don't fight, please live in peace. And if you worship a God who is a Tritvam, husband and wife will be fighting like two big elephants, and children like grass will suffer under their feet, who will have to say, Mommy, Daddy, please don't fight, live in peace. We don't believe a God who lives in dissension. We believe the triune God, who is the one God who lives in unity, harmony, and cohesion. God is love. There has to be plurality within the unit of Godhead. That's why when religious books say God is one, period, that God cannot be love. Whom will he love? He has to create creation. But without creation, God is love, because in the Holy Trinity, three persons existed eternally, and they are related to one another, speaking to one another, truth and love, and loving one another in truth. That kind of unity must be found in our midst. So Jesus is the second person of the Holy Trinity. Who knows more about God and man than Jesus? Who knows more about the purpose of God in creating man than Jesus? You want to know about Maruti Wagonar? Get the manual from the Wagonar maker, Maruti. Don't go to Benz, or to Ford, or to Chevy, or to Hyundai. Ask the maker. The maker will tell you how he made it, why he made it. So if Jesus is the creator, the second person, everything was created by the power of his word. By faith we know that. So you ask Jesus. So who knows more about God and man and life purpose than him?
If man contradicts what Jesus says, who is right, who is wrong? What the Ford company says about the Maruti car is wrong. What Maruti company says about the Maruti car, that's right. So ask the maker. So today what is happening is, people think Jesus is another teacher like any other teacher of any religion. Therefore they have a right to contradict Jesus. And I've seen some Christians picking and choosing what Jesus said. Oh, I accept what he said this. That I don't accept. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. So that means if you disagree with Jesus, you have the right to be wrong. Today we are living in a world of syncretism. 1 + 1 = 2, right? 1 + 1 = 0, right? 1 + 1 = 3, right? 1 + 1 = 0, any number up to infinity, right? Everybody right, nobody wrong. Will you do this kind of mathematics in your business, you will go bankrupt in 1 week. But in your business you are very smart. When it comes to your eternal soul, why are you so foolish? Truth is narrow, don't make it narrower or broader. And here is Jesus telling us who we are, where we are, what we are, and what our greatest need. That is why in the 7th description of Christ, in the sound and light show of God in Luke chapter 2, to the fearful shepherds, the angel comes and descends and the glory of God fills the place. You know, that's called the sound and light. And says, fear not. All of us who are filled with fear today, this morning, the Lord is telling us, fear not. Why? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Savior, because he is going to go to the cross and pay the fine penalty for your sin and blot out your sin with his death. He destroyed death through his death and brought life and immortality through his resurrection. He is Lord because he rose from the dead. Grave cannot keep him. Death cannot destroy him. How can death destroy him when he is the destroyer of death? He is Christ, anointed King, Messiah, because he is coming again. Second coming is in two parts. First stage in the air, second stage on the Mount Olive. And when Christ comes in the air, dead in Christ will rise, they will receive a glorified body. We who are alive will be glorified in the twinkling of an eye, means 700th of a second. Mortality will put on immortality, corruptible will put on incorruptible, earthly will put on heavenly. We'll see him as he is, become like him and be with him forever. What a blessed hope, what a living hope, what a sure hope, what a purifying hope God has given us. But do you know who Jesus is? One God, not 33 crores of gods and goddesses. If the truth about creation is one, the truth about the creators of creation has to be one. If I go to the medical college and start with my first year, say I belong to a very, very, what shall I say, very aggressive, militant religion. It's called religion A. Another one also belongs to another religion, religion B. Another one belongs to religion C. We are all very, very aggressive, militant believers in our religion. And when the time of anatomy dissection comes, I say, give me the dead body of my religion. I want to learn the anatomy of my religion's human beings. What will the doctor say? I don't think you were fit enough to be a medical student. There is nothing called dead body of religion A, dead body of religion B, dead body of religion C. All bodies are same. Take any body, you will learn the anatomy of the dead people of your religion. That means the truth about creation is one. If the truth about the creation is one, the truth about the creator of the creation has to be one. So don't worship creatures, don't worship creation, don't worship cosmic forces. Worship only the Creator who is blessed forever. And the Creator, who is the triune God, has sent the second person of the Holy Trinity to us so that we don't have to depend on human beings to give the answer to our serious questions. Religions are nothing but man's worldview to man's questions. And Jesus' answer is God's answer to human questions. Tell me, friends, who knows the truth? Who is the truth? Who is the ultimate truth? Jesus. So there is one God, and because of the enmity between God and man, we need a mediator who will reconcile us to Him. That's what my forefathers said. I always repeat it here. Na punyo dana dharmascha na karmascha punyam bhavet. Na punyo prana danascha jagat punyam nahi nahi. Some of you who have heard it so many times, you know it by heart. You cannot become righteous before God by dhanam, dharmam, karmam, tyagam. Na punyo dana dharmascha na karmascha punyam bhavet. Na punyo prana danascha. Even if you give your body in self immolating sacrifice, na jagat punyam nahi nahi. How can you get punyam? Sarva papa pariharo rakta prakshanam avashyakam tat raktam paramatmena punya dana beliyagam. Sounds like Bible, Leviticus and Hebrews. Life of man is in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Man has a body, but he is unfit for sacrifice. His body is not a yagna sharir. Because he is a liar, he is a deceitful and wicked person. He is a man of duplicity. He is not outside what is inside. He is not inside what is outside. He is a play actor. So his body is unfit for sacrifice. God is spirit, he has no body. And sin committed in the body has to be punished in the body. Where is that human body that can bear the sin of the world? Sarva pava variharo rakta prakshana avashyakam tad raktam paramatmena punyadana beliyagam. There must be a person who is sinless in his body, overcome temptation, and become the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world, and give his life a ransom for many. Where is that person? Our forefathers have clearly said, this is my message to India. This is what I preach. This is what I share. Many are turning to the Lord. Praise God. Prajapati charisi garbe tumeya prana prajati mabhyam pradijaise tubhyam hrandiyaha pranaha pradishtasi. God himself must become man through the womb of a virgin, live a life on earth without sin, and give himself a ransom for all. Who is qualified to be the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world? God is spirit. He doesn't have a body. Man has a body, is unfit for sacrifice. So the seed of the woman, virgin born, the word become flesh, the only begotten son, the last Adam, the second person of the Holy Trinity became man. He is the one. That's why the word of God says, one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for all. So don't fear, angels said to the shepherds, I bring unto you glad tidings of great joy which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, the only Savior, Lord, the only Lord, and King, the only King. He saved us on the cross. He justified us by his resurrection. And he is coming again to take us home. And he will reign this earth 1,000 years. And in the new heaven and new earth, he will reign eternally. He wants us to know him. He wants us to become like him. He wants us to make him known. What a marvelous challenge. Secondly, unless you recognize the authority of Jesus and live under that authority, you cannot have peace in your family life. You cannot have peace in a church. You cannot have peace in the society or the world at large. The last verse of the last chapter of Judges says, in the days when judges ruled, there was no king in Israel. Each one did what was right in their own sight. In many families, that's the situation. Father does what he likes, mother does what she likes, children do what they like, and the result is what? Cosmic battle goes on day and night. Bedroom becomes battlegrounds. Two people cannot get along together. You know why? Unless you have a common authority and respect the line of authority, two people cannot relate to each other. If Jesus becomes our final authority, we submit to him and we take orders from him, and when we have difference of opinion, we go to him and consult him. What do you say, Lord? And what he says, all of us do, won't there be peace and harmony? That's why man is designed in such a way, he cannot live unless you have an authority. You try to be your own authority, you will have experience of what you are having right now. But if Jesus becomes our authority, mommy, daddy, children, pastor, session members, workers, submit to his authority and live, recognizing the line of authority, there will be peace on earth. And before you can have peace on earth, we must have peace with God. That's why Christmas points to Calvary. Calvary points to the empty grave. The empty grave points to heaven, and from where he is going to come again. And this is not cock and bull story. Prophecy is the mold into which God pours future history. True. Today's prophecy is tomorrow's news. So today's newspaper is the commentary of the Bible. Read the Bible, read the commentary, listen to the TV. What do you find? Commentary of the Bible. Friends, let us be foolish enough to believe the word of God. But the foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of man. And the wisdom of man is going to turn out into utter folly. You know why? Two verses. I will tell you and stop. John 8:24. Jesus said, John 8:24. If you will not believe I am He, believe means receive me as your Savior and Lord, you will die in your sins. Such a loving person, wise person, why should you be so hard? Anyone who doesn't recognize who He is, believe in the heart, and confess with the mouth, Jesus Lord, and not be saved, you will perish in your sins, and the wages of sin is death. I believe there is heaven, I believe there is hell, because Jesus said it. And it's written here. I believe there is devil, there are demons, because Jesus said it, and it is written here. Let me be a fool to believe it. Let me be a fool for God. Whose fool are you? You can be a fool for the devil, not believing what Jesus says. So this is very clear. The seed of the woman, the virgin born, the word become flesh, the only begotten Son of God, the last Adam, the second person of the Holy Trinity says, if you will not believe I am He, you will die in your sins. And the wages of sin is death. And now then he says in John 5:24, that's a beautiful verse. You have to memorize it. Please do that if you don't know it already. Truly, truly I say to you, he who hears my words and believes on him that sent me, look at the grammar, has eternal life. Life is relationship. Eternal life is having a relationship with the Eternal One. When you receive Christ, He breathes the Holy Spirit into you. If my cell phone has a dead battery, it's a dead cell phone. If it is plugged into the source of power and the battery is alive, this is a live cell phone. Anytime my wife can call me, I can call my wife. Because it's a live cell phone. Once the Holy Spirit comes into your spirit, you become spiritually alive. You can talk to God and God can talk to you. Somebody asked Billy Graham, is there God? He said, yes. How do you know? I talked to him this morning. Very simple answer. I talk to my wife when I'm away every 6 o'clock in the morning daily. If somebody asks, is your wife still alive? Yes. How do you know? I talked to her at 6 o'clock and I talked. She's alive. So man, unless you have Christ in you, in whom the fullness of God dwelleth, and He breathes the Holy Spirit in you, you are not alive. Physically you are alive, mentally, emotionally, morally you are alive, but spiritually you are dead. Cell phone battery is dead. So just as you plug into the source of power to fill charges in your battery, plug into Jesus, the Holy Spirit is given to those who believe in Him. So you have eternal life. Doesn't come after you die, it comes the moment you receive Him. Sins are forgiven, you have eternal life and you are a child of God. You can know it and you'll be sure of it. Secondly, you will not come into judgment. That's the second blessing. You have not only eternal life, but you will never come to judgment. You know why? My sins were judged on Calvary. There can be no two payments for a debt. When my surety has paid my debt, my creditor cannot ask for second payment, I can put him in jail. God is more than a gentleman. He will not ask for second payment. Jesus cried on the cross, "It is finished," means let us die, paid in full. And if I accept what he did for me, will I come to judgment? Never. That's what Jesus says. "He who hears my word and believes on him that sent me has eternal life, shall not come into judgment." The third thing is wonderful. He is passed from death to life. From alienation you are reconciled. You have peace with God. You have the peace of God. And the God of peace is with you. And I tell my friends, if Jesus is wrong, I lose nothing. But if he's right, you lost everything. Common sense says you better have two options against one option. Jesus can never be wrong. Because the predictions, prophecies, fulfillment today points, he is coming again. Are you ready? Or will you be left behind like the five foolish virgins? When he knocks at your door, you don't open the door. You will knock at his door, he will not open. He will say, "I never knew you. Be gone." So on this Christmas day, it's wonderful to know who Jesus is and give him the rightful place in your life to be a Savior, Lord and King. Do you know him? Are you becoming like him? And are you making him known? This is the crux of the matter. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you. Next Sunday we are going to celebrate the Christu Jayanti. You are the eternal who became temporal, lived in a body. Reveal the Father to us, his heart, his love. Went to Calvary as the Lamb of God to take away our sins. You were buried, you rose again, ascended, you are coming again. Thank you for saving us from the penalty of sins. Thank you for continually saving us from the power of sin. Thank you, Lord, one day you will save us from the very presence of sin at your coming. And we'll see you as you are, become like you, and be with you forever. In this season of celebration of your birth on earth, Lord, may we know you and grow in our knowledge and your grace. And let others see Jesus in our lives. Make us your faithful, empowered witnesses. By what we are, by what we do, and by what we say when it is absolutely necessary. We want to be your faithful witnesses, solemnly communicating what we have seen and heard of you firsthand. And may there be many in eternity because of our lives. Lives which have declared Christ, who alone is the Savior, Lord and King. Remove our fears. Heal our sicknesses. Make us whole in the name of Jesus. Meet all our needs. Solve our problems. Because you are a very present help. And deliver us from all our troubles. Keep us triumphant. In Jesus, our Lord's name, we pray. Amen.